Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the Daily Jungle. Clones, you are going to dig today's program, trust me. And for all the reasons that you clones generally dig the program, but not for the reason that I generally dig the program. First, we hit Jason Kelce going legend at the Eagles parade. And then that roster swap that Kobe Altman pulled off. And then that roster rebuild that Kobe Altman pulled off on the fly in Cleveland. USA Today's Sam Amick broke that down. Clemson guard Gabe DeVoe made his jungle debut. And Star Trek dork Mike Freeman wrapped up the NFL season. And then I'll be straight, things got weird, really weird. Alvy, plug in that week that was and take it from here. The Daily Jungle starts right now. So what are we talking about today? What are we talking about today? The same freaking thing we've been talking about for weeks. Philadelphia. I can't believe it. Here I am in Southern California. Beautiful day in SoCal, and I'm starting the day yet again with a shout out to Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia absolutely went off yesterday. 2 million people slammed into a 300-year-old street, celebrating a half a century in the making. And yet somehow, in a seven-digit deep crowd, a single man stole the entire show. In other words, I see your Gronk. I raise you Jason Kelce. Jason freaking Kelce. Lifetime Eagle with 8 seasons on the offensive line. A man who dropped verbatim Rocky quotes after winning the Super Bowl showed up to yesterday's parade. Decked head to toe in a sparkling neon green mummer's getup. And he outpartied the entire city of Philadelphia all by himself. I mean, one thing for the Eagles parade to trend on Twitter all morning long, but entirely another for an offensive lineman to stay on that list as well into the afternoon. But then again, Jason Kelce did jump off the float, run into the crowd, high-five fans, sign autographs, pose for pics, slam cans of beer in the street, ride a random mountain bike for a few minutes, and then conduct an F-bomb-laden chant live on local TV. All of that alone would have made him the championship parade GOAT. But that was just this dude's morning cup of joe. Because when the march down Broad Street finally ended up at the Art Museum for the ceremony, Jason Kelce and his outfit found their way to the podium. And let me just say, we are all a million times better for it. Five pure, unadulterated, euphoric minutes of verbally flipping the entire world the bird. And it started like a stone-cold Steve Austin promo.
You love the Eagles? Let me get a hell yeah! You love the Philadelphia Eagles? Let me get a hell yeah!
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! And then for the next minute, after that epic opening, he went in. He went hard. He ran down the underdog mentality and how Howie Roseman engineered the entire thing. Picked him up. Then he got to Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is the guy who Mike Lombardi of The Ringer earlier this season called, quote, the least qualified head coach in the last 30 years, end quote. That quote happened to get a lot of run leading up to the Super Bowl, and it ended up aging worse than gas station sushi. And guess who didn't forget about it? I mean, Lombardi may have skated had Kelce let that go. May have skated. But there was no way in hell Kelce was going to let that go.
When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire by a lot of freaking analysts out there in the media. This past offseason, some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL. You saw a driven Doug Peterson, a man who went for it on fourth and down, went for it on fourth and down in the Super Bowl with the trick play. He's playing for a Super Bowl.
Hey, listen, I don't care how deep you dig into your bag of expletives. There's nothing quite as strong as calling somebody a clown or a bum. And Lombardi just got called a clown on live TV in front of millions of people, and he's going to have to wear that for the rest of his life. Now, to his credit, Lombardi already tweeted, quote, "Look, I deserve what Kelce said. I was wrong, and he was right," end quote. You know, he did a good job of owning it. That's a nice tweet. But something tells me Eagle fan could give a hell about apologies right about now. Kelce then went off for another 2 minutes or so, running down every single incorrect criticism that he had heard about all of his teammates. Just a totally awesome, how you like us now moment. And the crowd loved it. But not as much as they loved it when Kelce talked about them.
You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 52 years, you've been starved in this championship. Everybody wonders why we're so mean. Everybody wonders why the Philadelphia Eagles aren't the nicest fans. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
They've been starved. Everybody wonders why we're so mean. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm bleeping pissed off. That's the kind of line you wish you came up with. That's the kind of live line that's going to live on forever. The kind of line that will get turned into a t-shirt that every Eagle fan will be rocking next year. An instant classic from a dude who is absolutely rolling on the steps of the art museum. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm bleeping pissed off.
If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
And the guy still wasn't done. He still was not done. The haters and the doubters, they still hadn't gotten theirs yet.
No one wanted us. No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl, and nobody likes our fans. And you know what? You know what I gotta say? To all those people that doubted us, to all those people that counted us out, and to everybody who said that we couldn't get it done. What my man Jay Ajayi just said, F*** you.
Nothing there. Nothing to see here. Just an bleep you blast to everybody who said the Eagles didn't have a shot, which is essentially pretty much the entire world after Carson Wentz went down. I wonder what felt better, winning the Super Bowl or telling the entire planet, bleep you. It's got to be a tough call. Now, that's the perfect moment to drop the mic and walk off. Best moment ever. The perfect moment to drop that mic and walk off. Unless you're Jason Kelce, and instead of exiting stage left, you start a 2 million person, no one likes us chant.
No one likes us! No one likes us! Again, we're the Philly! No one likes us! We don't care!
No one likes us, we don't care. It's got, it's really one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. The whole thing. I must be honest. Viking fan is happy the Birds won after seeing Jason Kelce's act yesterday. Hell, even the Chouds know the world is a better place for having the Jason Kelce experience yesterday. And now all the fellas can welcome a new leader to their club. You know the club I'm talking about. Chase Utley. Brad Marchand. The Hood himself. My man Mark Madsen. They can all fight for second place because Jason Kelce is the runaway championship parade soundbite goat. Anyone looking to run this guy down is now staring at an almost impossible feat. 56-game hitting streak? That ain't happening. Johnny Vandermeer going back-to-back no-hitters? Maybe. Hey, maybe. Maybe since the no-hitter is the new shutout and the perfect game is the no-new-hitter, maybe. But nobody's going to go back-to-back-to-back with no-hitters. You're not going to run that down. You're not going to run this guy down. Anyone looking to run him down is looking up now at an impossible feat. The get-up, the beer chugging, the fan interaction, the bike riding, the multiple F-bomb speech. Have yourself a day, Jason Kelce. And good luck to anybody ever trying to top that. Ever. Fly, Eagles, fly.
If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
Clones, I need a moment to talk to you about something very important to me. Stamps.com. Now, here's a New Year's resolution that you can actually keep. Add Stamps.com to your business and save a ton of time and money this year. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't need that resolution this year because I've already done it, and I wish I had done it sooner. Stamps.com has saved me so much time and so much money. You see, Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. You simply use your computer to print U.S. postage for any letter or package, any class of mail, and you let the mailman pick it up. You don't leave your office. There's no more lugging mail to the post office. There is no more hassle. So Stamps.com saves you time and money. Almost everything you can do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Stamps.com. Convenient, easy, reliable, efficient. And those are all the reasons why I use Stamps.com. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Are you ready for a happier new year? Then go to Stamps.com. Hit the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in jungle. That's Stamps.com. Enter jungle. Once again, to take advantage of this great offer, Stamps.com. Enter jungle. That's Stamps.com. And now it's back to our daily jungle. We are joined by Mike Freeman. Mike, what's going on, brother?
That picture is awesome. I'm dying.
All right, Mike. So for those who don't know, what I said was we had Clemson, and Clemson promoted. Clemson does this. A lot of the colleges are very good about their artwork. And they took Gabe DeVoe, and they had this great artwork for a tweet. And I go, let me tell you something. My man Freeman's knocking out that artwork. Don't expect that. A clone came up with artwork. They put it together. They got it out there. Mike, are you by a TV right now? Can you see this? Right now, we have that artwork.
I saw it. It is really impressive.
Yeah, what's on TV?
I want someone to send that to me. I'm going to make that a poster out of that. I'm going to put it on my wall.
All right, so Chad in Orlando emailed that to us. CBS Sports Network just put that up on one of our monitors. Now the entire nation is seeing it. It is awesome. We got you. The clones love you. Mike, you're all good.
Well, you know what? Contrary to the way you badmouth us truckers, we are awesome. We are the coolest people that ever lived, and we were not going to ever let you bring us down, Jim.
We are the coolest people who ever lived. Yeah, you truckers are that.
No.
You truckers are that, Mike. I love truck drivers. You know how many truck drivers I have listening to this show? I love truckers.
No, I believe
Smokey and the Bandit was one of my favorite movies. I love truckers. All right, anyway, live long and prosper, truckers. Hey, Mike. All right, so I appreciate you, and thanks for coming on. You know, I don't know what the estimates were. I mean, it was $2 million, it was $700,000, it was somewhere in between. Whatever it was, there were a whole hell of a lot of people at that Eagles victory parade. What do you make of what you saw from the city and the players yesterday, and your thoughts on that parade?
It was really impressive, and as you know, Jim, that city – and those fans have been so, best way to put it is passionate about that team. And, you know, we've been around them. I've been to a lot of their games and covered a lot of Eagles games going back a long time to when Buddy Ryan was there and Reggie White and Jerome Brown. And they were a franchise that had a lot of talent. Sometimes didn't always live up to the talent they had. And like a lot of franchises, highs and lows, but the fans, they're always stuck with them. And it's really good to see a city, a fan base that stuck with them for so long and not win a Super Bowl, see them win one. I mean, it was fun to watch. It doesn't seem like it was overly crazy. There were at least 700,000 people there, and I like seeing it. It's one of the things I like about sports is just watching the team perform, do well, and the city appreciate them. It was really fun to see.
It was great. Mike Freeman joining us. Now, as great as that party was, Mike, much of the week has not been about the Eagles. It's been about the Patriots. Let me start with the Malcolm Butler story. 5 days after he barely played in the Super Bowl, do you have any further understanding of why he did not play in the Super Bowl?
No, and it's a weird thing, Jim. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen with the Super Bowl. And There's no clarity yet as to what exactly happened. And the Patriots are being quiet, and Malcolm has sort of spoken his piece. He's gotten a lot of support, though, I can tell you, from teammates, from people who really like him and have backed him. But there's been nothing about why Belichick did that. And I don't even want to speculate, but there's just been no real answer. And it just is crazy. I mean, he's one of their best players, definitely one of their best defensive players, and to not play him in a Super Bowl, it just seems like he must have done something that really angered the team, but I can't find what it is. It's crazy. So it's one of the weirdest situations I've ever seen, and we still have no clarity, and we may not for a while.
Mike Freeman, my guest. Mike, let me move on to Josh McDaniels. Now, because as soon as the Butler saga ended, the Colts quickly tweeted that McDaniels would be their next head coach, and then he wasn't. One NFC assistant told you McDaniels was, quote, a weasel. Another said it was, quote, such a gutless thing to do, end quote. What did people around the league make of how that whole thing played out?
What they really hated, Jim, was how he got assistant coaches to basically quit their job and go with him, and then he turned around and didn't go. And there was always a sense when you talk to people around the league about him that he was never going to leave. And they felt pretty strongly about that. But then he basically told the Colts he was going to go. Now, some of this is on the Colts. He hadn't signed the contract yet, and they announced in typical Coltsian way, they announce a press conference before the guy signs the contract.
Right.
So that's like, that's dumb. All right. That's just stupid. But what he did was gutless. It was weaselly. It's not the kind of thing we all change our minds. And with jobs, we all have second thoughts, and that happens with everybody in every workplace. But he brought people along with him and got them to sort of leave their jobs. And that was the worst part. I mean, other people have said that was the worst part. And that was the inexcusable part. And so this is all speculation. This is, no one knows this for sure. I think he was promised things. I think I know people have disagreed on that. I think he was told he's going to be the next coach. And that's the only reason he did it. That's what I think. So next coach of the Patriots. So I think in the end, he figured it was worth it to burn all those other bridges because one day he's going to be coaching maybe Tom Brady. So I think that's why he did it, but it was still a horrible thing to do to me.
Yeah, it seems to me, Mike, you don't do that. If something like that would burn every bridge to every other franchise, and certainly he wants to be a head coach again, you don't do that unless you know you're going to be the next head coach of the Patriots. All right, before you go, yesterday's news, big news yesterday, connected to the Patriots as well with the announcement that Jimmy Garoppolo gets a new deal. Mike, look, you know as well as anybody, you're worth whatever somebody will pay you, but what do you make of the contract for somebody? And now he's the highest paid player in the NFL. What do you make of a contract for somebody who has had as few starts as Garoppolo has had?
The first thing I thought about was Colin Kaepernick and how he should be in the league because he has very similar stats to Garoppolo, and Kaepernick is being blackballed, but that's a whole different subject. I thought, this is what you have to do, Jim, when you're in a quarterback league and teams are so desperate just to find an average guy, just to find someone who's decent. And Garoppolo may be better. I mean, he looks like he's going to be a good player, but you don't know. But you have no choice. If you're the 49ers, and you just watch the guy go, I think, what, 5-0?
Yes.
You have to overpay. You don't really have a choice. You don't want to roll the dice with a guy who seems to fit really well with what you're doing, that you like, that the players like, that seems to have a good grasp of the offense. So this is the league that we're in now. You have to completely, dramatically overpay because you're so afraid that you're not going to ever find a quarterback, or you're going to be the Cleveland Browns, who have had like 792 quarterbacks in 1 year. Like, you don't want to be that. So you do whatever it takes, even if you crazy, crazy overpay, that's what you got to do.
Speaking of 5-0, I mean 5-0 on a team that was 1-10. I mean, this guy, yeah, unbelievable. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, before you go, as long as we're talking about them, as long as we're talking about quarterbacks, where do you expect Kirk Cousins to end up?
I think that's one of the places he might end up because they're going to overpay. Kirk Cousins is going to go somewhere. And just kind of what I was just saying about, you know, Kirk Cousins isn't a great quarterback. He's good. He's solid. But he's not great. And, but still, he's going to clean up because the league is so desperate. And Cleveland's one of the places where he can end up. He'll go there. They'll have enough money. This is going to sound crazy. They're not too horrible. I mean, they're just horrible, but they're not too horrible. And that's a place where a guy like Cousins could go. And I think have an immediate positive impact. They could go from one win to like eight.
From one win to eight, Mike. They're 1-31. They're pretty horrible. They're pretty horrible, Mike. They're 1-31.
But he, I think.
I understand, Mike, that you can go from good to bad and bad to good really quickly in that league. But they're pretty horrible.
They're horrible, but you can. We've seen crazy things before in this league, Jim. And I think that if they do find someone that is just you can rely on at that position and isn't horrible and plays smart, I do think they can kind of change that culture. These cultures can change quickly with a good quarterback.
I love the guy.
Even that one.
No, I love the guy. I love the guy. I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is a top five quarterback. I'm saying he's a top three human being. I love the guy.
Right.
But they're pretty horrible. But there are a few assets there. There are a few things to like. And, Mike, if you had to guess, how many times did you flash the Vulcan salute on Radio Row in Minneapolis?
Well, the main answer to that question, Jim, is not enough. Because that salute is universally loved and cherished. That salute represents the future, the best of humankind. The greatest, the ability, the desire to explore, to seek knowledge, to seek truth, to live long and prosper, to go where no one has gone before. That's what that symbol represents, Jim. And one day you will understand that, Jim. Don't hang up on me. I'm not going yet. This is Star Trek. This is life, baby.
Mike, I never hang up on you. Mike, I love you,
Klingon.
Truckers. I love you,
this
truckers.
Is where we are, baby.
Trucker
Don't
Nation.
Hang up, Jim.
Trucker
Live
Nation. I never hang up on you, Mike. I never
I
hang
love
up on
you.
You. Now you're done. I mean, at some point last night, the dust did settle over the NBA, and everybody emerged from their Woj bomb shelters to find a Cavaliers roster that looked absolutely nothing like the one that had started earlier in the day. Now, if I ran down all these trades chronologically, it would take up the entire hour. So let me just run down the roster changes quickly. Dwanye, out. Derrick Rose, pack your bags. Jay Crowder, hit the bricks. Channing Frye, all the best. You notice how I did that? Look what I did there. Dwanye, out. Derrick Rose, pack your bags. Jay Crowder, hit the bricks. Channing Frye, all the best. Because Channing Frye's a great dude. And those other guys were hurting more than they were helping. Channing Frye is just a good dude. Really good dude who helped. Iman Shumpert, it's been real. Isaiah Thomas, man, we barely knew you. And all while they're heading out of C-Town, you've got a much younger group, a more athletic group, a more versatile group, a better defensive group coming in. Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., who I love, Roddy Hood, George Hill. So, did they get better? Without a doubt. No question. That's a better team, and in many more ways than one. They dumped a number of additions that failed. They did get younger. They did get more athletic. They added more two-way players than they had before, and they're definitely better defensively. We all know they couldn't have been any worse defensively. And above all, they changed up a locker room that, while I was not in there, I didn't need to be in there to know that it was a toxic wasteland. I don't know if they got all of it, but they did carve a big chunk of the cancer out of that room. GM Kobe Altman said that he knew something had to change. He said, quote, "We felt like we were on a slow death march, and that's not something I want to be a part of." End quote. The only part of that description that I disagree with was slow. That crew was not going to make it another week without trying to kill one another. I mean, you could see the resentment, if not the all-out hate, every single night that they took the floor. I could see it from here, thousands of miles away. I have never seen a team with worse chemistry that like playing with each other less than that Cavaliers team. Ullman had no choice but to drop a bomb on it. He also said, quote,
I think in large part we address the culture of the team and the building. And I imagine a lot of people on the conference call have been around our team, saw the lack of energy and enthusiasm. And that was just really disappointing to me.
If by lack of energy and enthusiasm you mean they hate each other's guts and they want to fight, then yes, I would agree. You lacked energy and enthusiasm. Of course they lacked energy on the court. You know why they lacked energy on the court? They used it all up, savaging each other anonymously in the media. Ullman said that he was looking for fountains, not drains. And he definitely did get some of that. But these deals are not just about plumbing, and they aren't even about just this year. That's a big swing. They're definitely better, and after carving out a lot of that cancer and ridding themselves of some dead weight, and this is key to me, if the moves rejuvenate LeBron, talk all you want about how he's the GOAT, still the best in the game, don't tell me that that wasn't impacting and affecting LeBron and his attitude and his energy and his effort, because it was. I'm not even saying that it was wrong that it was, but it was. Don't act like it didn't impact him and influence him on the floor, because it did. He didn't look right. But now, if these moves can somehow rejuvenate him, energize him, if he doesn't hate the guys that he's playing with and have to do everything himself on both ends of the floor, then that's a very good thing. But these moves do not put them in Golden State's class. They don't. I mean, obviously. They may not even make Cleveland the team to beat in the East. They're younger. They're more athletic. They're more versatile. They're better defensively. They're just better overall. I don't even need to see whether or not the pieces fit. I don't need to see them on the floor to know that they're better overall. I know that already. But until I see them on the floor and see whether or not pieces fit, I don't know how much better. We don't know. We don't know if the pieces do fit. We don't know how long it's going to take to find out whether or not they fit. We don't know whether or not the Cavaliers actually just gift-wrap LeBron to the Lakers with his deal. All these questions still need to be answered. But for the time being, the bottom line, for the time being, at least LeBron will not hate coming to work every day. And the rest of us won't all hate watching them. And they were willing to take a shot, even to the point where this could hurt them in the long run in an attempt to win right now and keep LeBron and to keep him from leaving when he probably will anyway. So I got to respect the hustle. I respect the effort. I respect the hustle. I think they did a nice job yesterday. But no, I can't sit here and tell you, all right, now it's on. Now it's on. Now they're the team to beat in the East, because I don't really think that's the case yet. Or I certainly can't say it yet. Not until I see how they look on the floor and whether or not the pieces fit. But I like the hustle. I like the moves. They did what they had to do, and I did not expect it. Sam Amick is back in the jungle. Sam, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Romy, what's up, brother? I'm doing great. Nice to be back with you.
Good to have you back, Sam. Always good to talk to you. I've got to get your thoughts first on yesterday. Now, Sam, going into yesterday, what kind of rumors and vibes were you getting with regards to Cleveland and the moves they might make? I mean, did you expect them to get as nice and to get as busy as they were?
I did not. I mean, I got to call a spade, you know, and I don't think I'm alone in this regard. You know, not only did I not expect this to happen, there was kind of this growing noise about kind of a, you know, a tinfoil hat idea, if you will, that Dan Gilbert, the Cavs owner, you know, was contemplating standing pat at the trade deadline, that he was fed up with just kind of the vibe and different things and even kind of the history and the dynamic with LeBron. And it had me honestly believing, like, man, are we going to get past this deadline and really learn that this is the beginning of the end for LeBron James and Cleveland? Because to me, if they didn't do anything, if they didn't, you know, go out and try to make this team back into a title contender, that would speak volumes. And they obviously, they went the exact opposite direction I love what they did. Toby Altman, first-year GM, just killed it.
Sam Amick joining us, and we'll talk about what you liked about what they did in a minute, but let me ask you this. How much of the issues that the Cavaliers had in the last 20 games were about talent, and then how much of it was just about chemistry?
I'd probably say the latter was the bigger portion. They are old. They were old, rather. Right. They fixed that with this trade, but they were the oldest team in the NBA, and guys are, you know, more mileage, they're slower, and that was showing itself night in, night out, but the spirit of the group was the bigger problem, and I'm forgetting who they had before Minnesota, but that last loss where LeBron himself, the guy who, you know, through thick and thin had normally played at an MVP caliber level, LeBron looked terrible. They seemed like a dispirited, you know, squad. And then you get in the locker room and every single night you were having these incredible media sessions where guys were just, you know, saying the kinds of things that we don't typically hear on the record, on camera, taking shots at each other. And they were kind of an open book and a soap opera. And that's not conducive to winning. So I think the chemistry was the bigger factor.
I've never seen worse chemistry, and I'm just saying that as somebody sitting here in California, but watching from afar, I've never seen a team that looked like that on the floor. I can only imagine what was going on off it. It was terrible. Sam Amick joining us. So now you've shaken up that locker room and the entire roster. You bring in Rodney Hood, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. You get rid of Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Channing Frye, and Iman Shumpert. It's a really different roster, Sam. How much better are they, though?
I think, when you bring on six new guys, we got to wait and see how they fit. But what I love, and to your question, is that, again, not only the youth, because Clarkson, Hood, and Nance are all 25 years old, the versatility is big, especially Nance. He's going to give them a guy who can guard multiple positions. That's something they didn't have before. They had a lot of one-way players on that roster before these deals. And, you know, and so we'll see how all the pieces fit. But this is what they needed to do. They had to get more competitive, and this does not put them back with the Warriors. This simply chips away at the gap between them and the Celtics and the Raptors, and I do think allows them to get back into this race. I mean, the one thing, Jim, that everybody – not that everybody was sleeping on it, but I looked at the standings yesterday, and we focused so much on how much they've fallen behind Boston and Toronto. You know, going into yesterday, they were four games away from falling out of playoff position,
sure,
which is just unthinkable. So I think this is going to help. I think they got significantly better. You know, the one quibble, they lose a first-round pick in the process, and these days that's a big price to pay. But other than that, I think it was great.
Sam Amick joining us. I think in that sense, Sam, that's an overpay. I think for them to lose that number one is an overpay, right. But they did keep the Brooklyn pick, and that's huge for them. The other side of this, of course, Sam, is how does it impact LeBron? Do you have any kind of sense? What does LeBron think of the moves, and how might it impact his decision in the offseason?
Yeah, I feel like I've got a good feel for it. And again, just being honest about my own kind of sense of my reporting, and, you know, the deal goes down, and my first reaction, and I even tweeted this, was I was dumbfounded that the Cavs of all teams would be helping the Lakers right. Pave the way for LeBron financially anyway to come their way. Everybody knows the story. They now have two max salary cap slots. They had to get rid of Jordan Clarkson to do that. So then I started reaching out to a few different people. It didn't take long from one of LeBron's absolute inner circle people saying they love the trade. And they were given a big thumbs up. They got younger. They got better defensively. And the spirit of what the Cavs did yesterday that does impress me is this idea that they decided to be bold and not spend their time worrying about a team like the Lakers or anybody else stealing their guy in free agency this summer, and instead focus on the fact that he's in a Cavs jersey right now, and you can control the roster, you can control how competitive you are, and you can convince him to not go anywhere. So that's the approach they took.
We're talking to Sam Amick. You know, Sam, I could talk to you about the Cavaliers for another half hour, but before I let you go, let's move on to a couple of other things. I know you spoke with Aaron Goodwin, who represents Isaiah Thomas, as everything was going down yesterday, and even right now there's a report that he said that Isaiah Thomas is not going to be willing to come off the bench here in L.A. I mean, the guy's not even right. here yet, and already you're hearing that kind of speculation. Listen, it was not that long ago that this is a guy who finished fifth in the MVP voting. Now he's right. being traded after 15 games in Cleveland. So where is Thomas, in your opinion, mentally, physically, and emotionally after everything that's taken place in the last 9 months?
I think mentally and emotionally he's spent, and he's going to have to find a way to hit the reset button. Like you said, it's a tough thing to go from fifth in MVP voting ahead of Steph Curry last season to a guy who now is having to argue that he should be a starter on a Lakers team that is below 500. So I don't blame him for being a little frustrated going into this situation. He also, though, has to be sensitive and careful because now things were negative in Cleveland. You don't want to come into L.A. and have that be the rap. You know, yesterday was wild when it comes to what you alluded to with his agent, Aaron Goodwin. The quick backstory is on ESPN's The Jump, Rachel Nichols is sitting there talking with Ramona Shelburne. Ramona talked about Isaiah coming off the bench. That prompted Aaron to text Rachel and say, I'm not coming off the bench. In the middle of all of this, I had already done a short interview with Aaron. I ended up having to call him back and saying, all right, now let's talk about starting. And so my understanding is this. He's obviously going to play a ton and start with Lonzo out. When Lonzo comes back, I think this is definitely going to become a story. Does Isaiah play side-by-side with Lonzo in the starting lineup, or does Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who just so happens to have the same agent as LeBron, Rich Paul, keep his starting job? And then Isaiah at that time, I think he would be frustrated if he's playing well then. Then I think you could see him push for a buyout.
Sam Amick is an NBA insider for USA Today Sports. He's got his own podcast. He is the host of the NBA A to Z podcast. Bottom line, Sam, did LeBron want Thomas traded?
In my opinion, yeah. I think, and he's certainly not alone. He was not alone, but we all know that, you know, LeBron's got more of a voice than anybody in that organization. That is definitely my understanding. In the interest of fairness, there is pushback from LeBron's side to that idea, but you know, you also would expect that. But yeah, that's certainly something that that you heard a lot yesterday.
All right, Sam. Also, you spent some time with Paul George when he was still unpacking in Oklahoma City, and then you caught up with him again recently. What kind of sense do you get about how he feels about his time in Oklahoma City, and where's his head at?
I mean, he loves it. I don't think you could have a more positive review at this point in the season, especially for a team that has struggled at different times and has not been as good as we thought they were going to be. Now, recently, they had an uptick. They won 8 in a row. Then they lost 4 in a row. But then they just had their way with the Warriors for a second time. So they are a Jekyll and Hyde team. But the substantive stuff is that he's got a very unique connection with Westbrook so far. They seem to really be hitting it off and clicking on and off the floor. He loves playing with Melo, respects the heck out of him. I don't think he could be more bullish on the Thunder situation. But with all that being said, the irony here is that I learned through the Kevin Durant situation more than ever that just what a guy says in February only matters so much. Kevin sat there and told myself and a lot of other people in the middle of, you know, early June when they lost to the Warriors in the conference finals, he sounded like a guy that was 100% coming back to the Thunder. Free agency is a different beast. When these guys hit July 1, they have a lot to think about.
Right, so, Sam, did anybody bring themselves any closer to running down Golden State yesterday before the deadline?
No. I mean, I still don't think it's – the answer is relating to trades, no. I mean, I'm paying attention to Houston big time. And then certainly, again, I like OKC, what they've been doing to the Warriors is fascinating. But in terms of deals, no. I mean, Houston didn't do anything, and, you know, they didn't have to. They're in a great spot. So, you know, the Cavs are in survival mode. For the Cavs, this was getting their head back above water. But I'm not going to sit here and try to say that this puts them, you know, on the Warriors level.
We're talking to Sam Amick for a few more moments. Sam, in terms of the Lakers, and you touched on this, and I mentioned it yesterday. I mean, how unbelievable would that be if the Cavaliers set this thing up and made it easier for LeBron to go to L.A., right? I mean, I hope that's true. Not because I'm a Laker fan. I just think that'd be hilarious myself. But what about that? Now the Lakers, and Rob Pelinka was talking about the fact that we are now better positioned under the cap than any team in the NBA, which is fine, and it's well, as long as you can find max guys who are worthy of that to take your money. What about the Lakers? Does it make it any more or less likely that LeBron will come to them now?
I mean, it's more likely financially, and that's a really important factor. It's more likely because I think they need positive buzz around their team, and they've been playing well. Even with Lonzo out, that's the kind of vibe that they've got to have somebody like LeBron or Paul George or somebody of that caliber look their way and say, yeah, that's something I might want to do. And especially now, the other important thing is if you're a prospective free agent, you can look at this roster and see pieces that are going to be part of the future and imagine yourself side by side with them. So it was a really good day for the Lakers, but you're dead on. Like, doesn't mean that much if you don't go out and eventually get these guys. And as unexpected as that Cavs subplot was, you know, I did talk to the Lakers and get clarity on the fact that in terms of getting off Clarkson's money, they had other options. This was going to happen, excuse me, whether or not it was Cleveland or somebody else. But certainly it makes the story even better because, again, on the Cavs side, the idea that they just looked at it and said, you know what, that's fine. You want to go to the Lakers? We're actually going to make sure that door's open for you. But if you choose to stay in Cleveland, you know, it's going to mean even more, and we'd love to have you.
Guard Gabe DeVoe is my guest. Gabe, it's great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Great win for us last night. Ready to get back at it next week against Florida State.
You're exactly right. That was a great win last night. In fact, why don't we talk about that for a minute? You're coming off a huge game. You had 25 and 6 rebounds. You were 7 of 11 deep last night. That gives you 4 straight games with 5 or more threes. It ties a school record. How good were you feeling on the court last night?
Felt great. Early on, I missed a few early looks, but in the second half, I came out and got it going. Got hot there for a minute. Was able to knock in a bunch in a row.
Hey, Gabe, early in the second half, you let one fly from the logo, and you drained it. What's it feel like when you're in a zone like that? Does it feel like everything you shoot is going in?
Yeah, it does. I mean, a lot of times I don't even notice how deep I am on the court until we get in film sessions and things like that. But my range is, I feel like when I cross half court, I'm in range.
I love that. Clemson guard Gabe DeVoe joining us. Now, Gabe is your middle name. Your first name is Robert. That, of course, led to the Bobby Buckets nickname. Who first started calling you that, and then how do you like that nickname?
It actually came around my freshman year. One of our OGAs and video coordinators, Austin Clark, he's down at Nichols State now. But he gave me the name, and it's been sticking ever since.
Yeah, it sticks. Do you like it? How do you feel about it?
I like it. That's all they call me in the basketball program, so I don't mind it at all.
I love
it at all.
Good, man. I'm glad to hear you say that. I love it. I love it. I didn't want to use it if you didn't like it, but I love it. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, you're the pride of Shelby High School. You were the student body president. You were regarded as the greatest basketball player in school history. So what was life like for you growing up in Shelby and being a basketball star there?
Yeah, I mean, Shelby's a small town. So growing up there, high school sports is pretty much – the biggest thing around. So it's huge. You're like a local celebrity around the area, and all the kids look up to you, things like that. So it's pretty cool growing up. Ended up being the leading scorer there. So that was huge.
So you're used to being the guy and everybody looking at you as the guy, and then you go to Clemson, which is less than 2 hours down the road, which means your family can come to your games. But as a freshman, you didn't see a lot of playing time. You averaged less than 9 minutes per game. A lot of guys with your talent and your background and success in high school might have been frustrated, might have been disappointed. So what was your freshman season like for you?
No, it was a lot of ups and downs. It was frustrating for sure. I mean, you have all types of people in your ear telling you you should leave and things like that. But I decided to stick it out and just wait my turn.
You see, that to me is really important. You've got a lot of people saying they're not doing you right. This is not what you signed up for. They're in your ear. You're a young guy. You know, it's easy to say trust the process and stick it out, but not so easy to do. So what were you thinking? When all these voices are in your ear, what was in your head, and then how did you approach that challenge your first year?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's in your ear about that. I just talked to my family a lot about it and prayed about it, things like that, and just I felt it was the best decision for me to stick it out. I signed with them, so I didn't want to leave because now in college basketball, I feel like everybody just leaves once things not going their way. I just decided to stick it out.
Gabe DeVoe, my guest, good for you. You're exactly right. When things don't go your way or adversity hits, it's easy to bounce, and that's not what you did. And now, look, your minutes have gone up every single season. And look at the journey. Look at the way it's paying off. How satisfying is it then that at the first sign of adversity, you didn't leave and all the hard work is paying off? How satisfying is that?
Yeah, I think that makes the journey even more sweeter. Just knowing the adversity I had to face, not feeling like I was playing like I wanted to my first couple years. But my senior year has been a great run so far. Just really enjoying it. Really enjoying this year.
I want to go back to what you said, that when you cross half court, you feel like you're already in range. Your coaches would say the same thing. They've given you the green light to shoot almost essentially whenever you'd like. What's it mean to know that the coaching staff has got that kind of confidence in you?
I mean, it's huge. Them trusting me with the ball in my hands, because I feel like my teammates think every time I shoot it is going in. The work that I do, So, I mean, it's huge. Let me play with a free mind and being able to shoot whenever I get an open look.
Clemson guard Gabe DeVoe joining us. You know, it's not only the confidence that they have in you on the offensive end, but the coaches talk about how you've developed as an excellent defensive player. So you yourself, how much pride do you take in the fact that you can also impact the game on the defensive end? And then what's your mindset when you're defending somebody?
Oh, that was huge. That was one of my biggest goals coming into the season. I knew that I was going to be counting on defensively on the perimeter to take on a lot of the other team's best guards. That's one thing I worked on and made strides over my years here at Clemson. But, I mean, huge. Going into the game, that's one of my biggest goals, try to limit their touches and hold them under their averages and things like that. Just giving my team the best chance to win.
Gabe, go back to January 30th for a minute. You had 17 in the win over number 19 North Carolina. Clemson had lost 10 straight and 20 of 21 to North Carolina. As somebody from Shelby, how much did that win mean to you?
I was huge because being from North Carolina, I actually grew up a Tar Heel fan. So it made the win even more sweeter, being able to beat them my senior year and being a contributor in that game. So that was a great feeling for me.
All right, so the team's now 20-4. You're number 15 in the coaches' poll. It's a program that has not been to the NCAA tournament now since 2011. Is this something that you guys are talking about as a goal? And then what would that mean for you to lead that team back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, I mean, going into the season, we had that mindset, why not us? We weren't getting much love in the media and things like that, but we believed in the guys in the locker room. And, I mean, it showed over the course of the season. 20-4 and second in the ACC. We just believe in each other and feel like we can go out and win every game.
Got a couple of things for you before you go. Legend has it you're a pretty solid fisherman. How accurate is that, and what do you like about fishing?
Fishing is something I've always loved to do. And here we team up with the Outdoor Dream Foundation, and we go fishing a lot during the summer. That's been huge for me. I make every trip I can. So I just love being out on the water. And just fishing is something that's always been with me since I was a kid.
Good for you. And if you could take a passion like that and partner up with the foundation and give somebody else an opportunity, that's great. The other thing that's caught on about you is this sense that you and Clemson football player Christian Wilkins look alike. Now, I had him on the show in the fall. My man, he's one of my favorite guys. I love that guy. So what do you think when you hear people compare the two of you? Do you get a laugh out of it? Or are you like, man, what are these people talking about? Where are they going with this?
No, I get a laugh out of it. It was funny because actually Dante Grantham made a joke about it. But the year before Christian came, when he committed, he had seen a picture of him online, and he said it was my twin. And said, ever since then, since he first stepped on campus, I've been getting it a lot. And I mean, this year I've really been kind of joking around with it on Twitter and things like that, just making jokes about it.
Let's go to Lynchburg, Tennessee. I don't do that very often. Lynchburg, Tennessee, Marie is on the phones. Good morning, Marie. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm super, Marie. Thank you.
Who am I speaking to?
Marie, you are speaking to the one and only, for better or for worse, Jim Rome Esquire. How are you? You're on the air.
Oh, well, Jim, I just wanted to call and tell you that I love your show, and I think you're great, and I think that the winners of the Super Bowl really deserve to win. And that's what I wanted to tell you.
Well, that's super,
and
Marie.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, and thank you for making that call, Marie. Hey, Alvin, why don't you go ahead and save that? You can rack Marie. Rack her! Jeff in Southern California. Hey, Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Rome, who am I speaking to?
No, I'm just kidding. Maria, I love the call, and my DMs are open for business if you're interested. Hey, Jim, real quick, Friday poll question. Who is a bigger bitch on Super Bowl Sunday? Was it Tom Brady wearing his wife's jacket and sunglasses to the game? Or was it Mark in Hollywood for pre-gaming with wine? But, Jim, I digress. The reason I'm giving you a call today is that the Winter Olympics have started, and I got my eye on one sport and one sport only, women's curling. Women's bleeping curling, in the words of Rex Lee, yeah. Now, if you like the grunts from the women at the Australian Open, consider that an appetizer. And the grunts coming from the women's curling are the main damn course. Now, I have no idea what the hell is going on with that, and I don't know how they score, but my God, the grunting, Rome. Are these women playing a sport or giving birth to Vince Wilfork's offspring? I mean, they're louder than Rose.
Any freaking time, Alvin. No. Any time, Alvin.
You don't like that cup.
I don't like that cup.
Any freaking time, Alvin. Alvin, did you not run somebody for one crack about illegitimate children earlier in the program? Yes, you did. How did he make it past, hey, Marie, my DMs are open for business anytime you want? How did that guy get past that?
Dude.
Hawk, why don't you crack open that mic for a minute? Because I really don't want to wait for the breakdown of this conversation. Why does Junior over there not have a microphone in front of him? Because the things that are coming out of his mouth in response to my questions are unbelievable. Did Alvin DeLauro just say, when I asked him why that happened, did you just say that people like that and you're going to reserve judgment?
People are into that sort of thing. I can't judge. Glass houses, man.
Alvin, did you just say people are into that sort of thing? I can't judge. Glass houses, man.
You know, Jeff in SoCal, he has this way about him. So,
dude, why are you addressing the camera? Just look at me. I cannot believe. Alvin, how long have you worked on this show?
12 years.
12 years. That might be the most unbelievable phrase I think that I've ever heard you utter either on. Well, certainly not on the air, because you've never uttered anything important on the air. No offense, my man. You are the greatest at what you do. Did you just say people? Say that again.
I don't remember what I said.
It was better than people like. People are into that sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
People are into that sort of thing. I am not here to judge glass houses, man. It's the most amazing phrase you have uttered in the 12 years I've known you. Number one, people are not into that sort of thing. Number two, you very much are here to judge. You drop the hammer on people every single day on this show. Since when are you not here to judge?
To each their own, you know, so...
To each their own. Let me tell you, I'm going to translate. To each their own, and people are not here to judge. You liked it.
I was hoping for a better punchline. So, yeah, I kind of let him slide.
Dude, you're out of your mind. I mean, I can't even believe this conversation we're having. This is, I don't know you anymore, Alvin.
It's Friday.
I'm not here to judge. It's Friday. That's your answer to that. It's Friday. Hey, what do you have to say for yourself, young man? It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Yeah, it is. All day. And tomorrow's Saturday, and yesterday was Thursday.
No live read coming up here.
Oh, my God.
So you're good to go.
It's absolutely insane. Thank you, Alvin. Thank you. Switch. Go back. By the way, man, why is it 90 degrees in this studio right now? Hawk, don't you come in my house. Stay right where you are. Hey, Hawk, by the way, as long as you're here with a mic in front of your face, that lid... Is that M? Let's get a shot of this real quick. Don't answer the question. I'm going to pose the question. Does that M that you're rocking on that lid, that bright yellow M, does that stand for moron? Or Minnesota, bro? Minnesota. You're a gopher. Dude, are you going to night school at Minnesota?
Can I answer?
Hey, please.
Okay.
It can't get any worse.
Yeah, so I'm a proud alum of Minnesota.
Since when?
Since I went to the Lids at the Mall of America and bought a hat, because to me, a three-time community college dropout, the best part of not going to college, besides not having student loans, is being able to claim any college you buy a hat of. So it's me, Bob Dylan, Ric Flair, Brock Lesnar. You know, we're gophers for life.
Dude, the two of you guys, I mean, both of you are just on, these are fire takes. You just said, if I've gone to junior college three times and not graduated, that's great because one, I have no loans I have to pay back. That's true. The thing about that, though, Hawk, you have no diploma either.
Right. But I do have a sweet gig that a lot of people want and no loans.
True.
Right?
Usually it's you guys who are speechless. I've got no comeback for that.
And
You have a sweet gig that's not guaranteed beyond the summer.
Sure.
At the rate you're going. But you're right. It is. Why do you go to college? To get a good job. Believe me, your parents, nobody who knew you coming up thought you would ever end up in a job this good. Believe me.
That is very
true. And I don't know anybody
true.
Who knows you. I just know that's what they thought.
Yes, that's very true.
And you're right. You do. And you don't have loans. You're not drowning in a sea of debt. And your feeling is you can walk into any lid store in any mall, buy any lid for $20, and therefore rep. Why not buy a Harvard lid?
That's what I'm saying.
Why not buy a Yale lid?
When we get to Cambridge, I'm going straight to that Harvard bookstore, and I look out Harvard. And I the money I used was the money I didn't spend on college to buy this hat.
The money I used... Hawk, I know you didn't go to college, so you wouldn't know this. College costs more than $20. I know you don't know that because you didn't attend. And I'm not here to crack on people that didn't attend, because believe me, some of the smartest, most successful people I've ever met did not attend college.
Like me.
You, I was going to say, you do not fall in that category. Look, morons, y'all are really yappy today, a little punchy. I know it's Friday. And you know what's the worst part about this? It is, all day. The worst part about this, and since I'm always demanding accountability and responsibility, this has been one of the better segments of the day. I hate to say, Alvin, that was one of your finer moments since I've known you. Good job, good effort, good answer. Fellas, as long as we've already shattered the clock and already made a mockery of the proceedings, is there anything else? Does James Kelly have anything to offer? He's a Friday dude.
James Kelly wanted you to run Marie. Halfway through her call, he goes, runner.
James Kelly wanted me to run Marie.
Yes.
James Kelly is not only a clone, he's like the worst kind of clone. But again, good at his job. Kelly is the guy, James Kelly, that literally will send me, never mind that he's worked on the show. Hey, Alvin, who got here first, you or JK? James Kelly's been, though, with us for 10 years, maybe? Maybe? 8 years, James Kelly's worked for us. He's the webmaster. He does a lot of our social. He works on the podcast. He works with our metrics, our analytics. James Kelly is the one who takes your calls and puts them on our Facebook page. He sends me emails during the show that if any other clone sent them, they'd be blocked from the show for life. But he works on the show, and he comes off as the worst sort of clone. So, no, it doesn't surprise me that James Kelly, in the middle of Marie's call, said, runner, runner, runner. Rome, I have never heard Alvin speak on your show, and he just babbled on like Hawk. Jacob, yeah, well, just like Hawk, except smart. You got to understand about Alvin. Alvin, for years, was terrified every time he cracked open the mic. Dude just walked over there like a boss. And just drop some knowledge and some takes that I've never heard. I mean, that was Alvin DeLauro. Fire. Fire. When I asked him how he could allow the imbecility of Jeff from SoCal, and his reaction was, I don't know, dude. Some people are into that. Who am I to judge? Glass houses, bro. Anyway, here's your live read next segment. I mean, that's Hall of Fame fire from Alvin DeLauro. Some people are into that. Who am I to judge? Glass houses, bro. One last thought, because I know I've belabored this and I've smashed the clock up. When he says, who am I to judge? His freaking job is to judge. Believe me, the suits are all up in his business to check me. All Alvin does is judge all day long. He's the one with the hammer, not me. If you're watching on TV, look at my white desk. I've got some papers, and I've got a laptop, and a phone, and a cup of Joe. There is no button here for the buzzer. That's Alvin. Who am I to judge, dude? Dude, you judge 50 times a day, every day. That's who you are to judge. All-time wreckage. Program directors all across America saying, yeah, Rome, great bit. Should have ended it 5 minutes ago. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Can't end the segment without me, though. It's not over until I say it's over. No, I'm done.
Now I'm done.
The next segment's going to be really short. Really, really short.
Yo.
Yeah. Man, welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live. I am back in Southern California after a week in the bold north. You can imagine, it's been a long week. The Philadelphia Eagles are your Super Bowl champions.
Yeah! Throws in the end zone, touchdown, falls
put the ball.
That was badass. The rare legitimate. Holy. Are you kidding me? Philly, it was a moment for the ages. Let's go right to the phone.
No one likes us. No one likes us.
I can't do a thing in my favorite sports show. No,
Did Sarah Jessica Parker even get charged for crapping on the street?
Did you have any idea that he was going to utter the name Sarah Jessica Parker?
I did.
And you thought that was okay?
Yeah.
Danny Amendola, he throws a lob to Brady off his hands.
My man, can you just reach up and catch a ball thrown to you? Where's all the pliability? Have you been watching that Tom versus Time show? I'm not sure I've ever seen a guy look less pliable going up to get a ball. Albert Breer is my guest. Malcolm Butler only played one snap yesterday.
Certainly something has happened. I don't know what yet.
I'm not saying that having Butler on the field would have won a sixth ring for the Patriots, but watching the rest of Matt Patricia's crew give up 41 points, I doubt that he would have hurt. That's not me eating a hot pepper on the show. That's a dude eating horse crap off the sidewalk. Not okay. Not okay at all. It is not okay to eat horse crap in South Jersey. It's great to have you, Kevin. How are you?
Jim, unbelievable. We lost my godfather last year, and we all had his hats on, and he was there with us, and we did it. It's what America's war. Me
hey,
and
Austin, don't you come in here. I know what you're coming with.
Twitter.
For the love of God. Crying over a football game. We won. Get perspective. Grow up, dude. Kevin, I still have your back. Michael Kendricks.
We went through so much adversity that it just means that much more. And you're right. We do play for each other. It's a true team. I mean, we epitomize what it means to be a team.
Touchdown! Zach Ertz!
Zach Ertz joining us on the show.
And people have said, oh, you caught the game-winning touchdown. How did it feel during the game? And I was like, man, I was just worried about the next play. Sure. When we get to the parade on Thursday, it'll start to hit me more and more. But it's still an amazing feeling being a world champion.
Email.
Is Doug Peterson as handsome in real life as he is on TV? Thanks, Sarah T.
Hey, James.
Stay thirsty, Sarah. Jonathan Williams joining us. You tell me, am I missing anything by not going camping?
I ain't missing anything, man. That's the last thing I want to do on this earth. I'm not a big camper at all.
Email.
I saw somebody post on Facebook that it had been 3 years since Shared Belief beat California Chrome in the San Antonio.
Has him, and
Randall, were you not at that race?
I think the big thing is don't be afraid to fail.
This guy's message clearly is just keep showing up. Keep chopping. Mad respect to this guy.
The rivalry is back on.
Oh, he went there. I'm sure they're shaking.
The rivalry. Oh, no.
The rivalry is back on. Like that was some kind of drop the mic moment. Yeah, I'm sure they're shaking.
You know, his ethics or lack thereof before he started coaching the Colts.
Being as money hungry as, you know, Josh McDaniels is, I think the Colts were offering him more money.
Cruz Pedregon in studio.
It's not very often that I get interviewed by somebody more famous than me, so I'm a little nervous, Jim, but I'm going to get some of that jungle karma, too.
Hall of Fame class of 2018, Jerry Kramer.
Good morning, Jimmy. I am higher than a Georgia pie.
I'm here for the long haul.
The long haul? This guy's not here 1 second longer than he has to be.
At the end of the day, we are brothers, and we understand
that whole thing about we're brothers. No, you're not. I mean, I'm not even in that locker room, and I can tell how bad that locker room is, obviously. Digger, my friend, is it really you?
Yeah, Jim, it's me, and you're not going to kick butt with your staff. They knew it, and so you just let it go, buddy. Things are great. You know, I tried to call the other day, but I waited till today, and to see the parade in Philly, this is just incredible.
Chris Holtman.
So they traded Isaiah, huh?
They did.
Wow. I just didn't see that coming. Certainly pulling for those guys.
Mark in Philly.
That little crybaby bitch, Tom Brady. That little bitch.
Jeremy Bloom.
Good to speak with you again, Jim. I think the last time was back when I was battling the NCAA or somewhere around there.
I think you're right. Broadcasting live from the Quicken Loans studios.
If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
Alvin, how do you feel about adding Jason Kelce's? Hell yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
After a Supersonics game, a scavenger hunt to find all of Sean Kemp's illegitimate children.
I have a soft spot for illegitimate kids. No. They don't have a father. Sam Emick, did LeBron want Thomas traded?
In my opinion, yeah. I think, and he's certainly not alone. For the Cavs, this was getting their head back above water.
Contrary to the way you badmouth us truckers, we are awesome.
Yeah, you truckers are that.
Oh my God, the grunting realm. Are these women playing a sport or giving birth to Vince Wilfork's offspring? I mean, they're louder than Rose.
Any freaking time, Alvin.
People are into that sort of thing. I can't judge. Glass houses, man.
Knucklehead should stay
Nux
home.
Nux gonna nuck.
Give my girl my Philly special.
Bitch, I ain't got socks on.
TVMA.
Yes.
Lickety split.
Jim, let's go skiing sometime.
All right, Jim, later, man.
Jim, always a pleasure.
You know what?
I'm going to screw my buddy Kraft right now.
Go Bucks!
This is how we do it.
And that's what I wanted to tell you.
It's Friday.
Eagles fans everywhere.
Dilly dilly, Philly.
This is for you.
Good night now.
There it is, clones. A getaway Friday. I'm in the basement on Monday, but I'll be right back here on Tuesday. You have yourself a great weekend. I'll check with you then. I'm out.